I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Glad you could join us once again this week to your weekly foray into all things geeky. If it's geeky, it's here. I know it goes a different way. We'll get to that in just a minute. All right. We'll go ahead and do it now. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I just can't go against tradition. You know what I'm saying? There's something to be said for consistency. Yes. And we're consistent here. Some would say, is that a good thing? Yeah, I know. Fred, for one, would say, is that a good thing? Yeah. Anyway, we're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. So there you go. Of course, we're talking about, by the way, the blog. The blog is drbill.tv, drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. By the way, thank you, Fred, for putting things on the screen while I'm busy doing the show. Yes. I can tell you're enthusiastic, Fred. Fred, of course, is my imaginary friend and cohort. You might say he's the co-host of the show, although I don't want to give him a big head. You know, Fred, he's easily distracted. See? Okay. Boy, I tell you, with votes of confidence like this, you know you're going places on the show. All right, let's get into items from the blog, of course, that I just mentioned, the aforementioned drbill.tv, the blog. We'll start with the next item after the last podcast, which, by the way, was number 314. That makes this number 315. But you knew that, probably. I don't always know. I just go with the flow, you know? Anyway. So anyway, speaking of going, HBO Go is now available on Chromecast. You know, there's a lot of people that say Chromecast doesn't have enough apps. I still say they're missing the point of Chromecast. Chromecast could have no apps at all, and it would be totally worth the $35 that you pay for it. Now, why do I say that? Because the Chrome browser gives you access to anything on the internet. Okay, you know that. And because I can Chromecast a tab from the aforementioned Chrome browser, then I can see anything that's on the internet, any video that's out there. I can watch it on my big, giant 50-inch TV screen. So there, which is actually quite cool. Now, you know, these apps like the HBO Go app, okay, that's cool. You know, if you want to watch Game of Thrones or whatever it is they have out there on HBO Go, Boardwalk Empire, I don't know any of those shows. I don't watch any of them, so what do I know? But anyway, any of that stuff you can watch now on your Chromecast. But, you know, if I could have watched it on the interwebs, I could have watched it anyway. Just saying. But anyway, it is cool that you can actually cast it, you know. I mean, if I had my phone and it's got the Chrome app on it, I could cast stuff that's on the phone. I mean, okay, yeah, that's cool. Anyway, next item. I am, by the way, as I said, the computer curmudgeon, so occasionally I go, Anyway. Will Microsoft buy Winamp and Shoutcast? Now, this all came about because it was announced that AOL, which bought Shoutcast and Winamp, which is basically Nullsoft, the company called Nullsoft, AOL bought them many years ago, probably almost a decade ago at this point. Anyway, they didn't do much with them, which is good. They left them alone, which is a good thing. But at any rate, Shoutcast is what I'm most concerned about, because Shoutcast is the software that I use as technical director of WFR.org Internet Radio to broadcast internet radio. Shoutcast is our broadcasting technology of choice. And it runs on Linux, and it's open source, and it's free, and that's a good thing. Okay? So now it is being closed down, and so is Winamp. Now, I don't care as much about Winamp. I mean, I used to use Winamp, but I don't really use it anymore, and apparently even do a lot of people, because it's shutting down. AOL decided to just deep six it. So in the process of this whole thing, Microsoft decides, well, maybe we're interested. Why Microsoft would be interested in Winamp and Shoutcast? I don't know. I mean, that's just Microsoft being Microsoft. I'm sure they'll come up with a reason. But at any rate, I don't know how I feel about it, actually. I'm a little disturbed by the idea that Microsoft might buy Shoutcast, because they might just shut it completely down. Now, you can't exactly shut down Shoutcast. Shut down Shoutcast. It's hard to say. Anyway, because once you install the software on your server and start using it to broadcast your internet radio, I mean, I guess at Shoutcast.com, I guess it does connect there to list the fact that you have a station on the internet. But, I mean, who cares so much about that? I mean, that's good. Don't get me wrong. We definitely post ours there, make it a public resource so that it shows up there. But even if we didn't, it would still be broadcasting. So I'm a little ambivalent about that whole thing. Okay. So now, yes, this is the big story of the week for me. Okay. Now something else may be pushing your buttons, but this one's pushing my buttons. This got me in full-blown curmudgeon mode. Ah. And that's this. I always think of John C. Dvorak when I do that. Nah. Because that's what he always says. Ah. Anyway, this definitely got me pulling a John C. Dvorak this week. BitCasa was originally announced and had a beta. And the beta basically said, okay, you can use BitCasa, put your data on BitCasa, kind of like on Dropbox, and it's unlimited. We're not going to have a ceiling. You just use as much as you want. Dude. So, of course, I immediately put my data there. Well, they came along and they said, okay, guys, now, don't get mad now, but we got to have a business model. We got to be able to stay in business, and we're hosting everybody's data. So, you know, we need to charge. And I said, well, okay, I'm good with that. As long as it's reasonable, I'm okay. So they said it was going to be $99 a year for unlimited storage. Well, I started counting up and went, yeah, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, if you were to buy a terabyte drive, let's say, and it costs $99, and you put a terabyte of data on it, okay, that's good until you grew to the point you needed 2 terabytes of data, then you got to go buy another $99 drive, and then what if the drive fails, and it's not redundant, and on and on and on, and so this started looking pretty reasonable. I said $99, and it's unlimited, and they keep it in their data center, and they keep it backed up and redundant and all those good things. You know, this sounds like a pretty good deal. So I sent them my $99. This week, they announced that unlimited storage was now going to be $999. What? I ain't paying no $999 to store stuff in the cloud, dude. You just shot yourself in the foot big time. Know what I'm saying? Whoa! So, here's what I say on the blog. I say, I thought BitCasa was da bomb because they offered unlimited storage with no restrictions at $99 per year. I signed up. But no way am I renewing at $999 per year. Are you kidding? I got Pogo Plug. What's Pogo Plug, you say? Pogo Plug is a service that's $49.99 a year, so roughly half the price of what I originally paid for BitCasa, but they are unlimited, they have no restrictions, and actually, I kind of like the way their software functions better than BitCasa. BitCasa appeared as a drive letter, and you actually had to drag and drop files over to it to copy them there. What Pogo Plug does is it installs some software on your computer, and then you just tell it, okay, back up my documents, my videos, my pictures, and my, what's the other one? Apparently one I don't use much. But anyway, the four Microsofty official areas that you can do stuff, and it mirrors it to the cloud. Now, here's the difference. If I delete a file off of my BitCasa-ized folder, it deletes it from BitCasa. Now, if I deleted it accidentally, then I don't really have a backup in the cloud. See what I'm saying? That would be bad. Because the whole point is to guard against people doing something stupid. Right? So, behave, Fred, okay? All right. Anyway. So, he distracted me. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So, the way Pogo Plug works is you have the cloud out there, your Pogo Plug area in the cloud that you have told it mirror these areas, these folders, on your system. And if you delete the file from your local folder, it stays up there. So, if you need to restore it, you can. And since it's unlimited, who cares? You say, well, I deleted it down here because I needed to save space. Yeah, but who cares? Up there, you can have as much as you want. Okay? So that's a good thing. So here's what Engadget says about the whole deal. If you thought BitCasa's infinite cloud storage was too sweet of a deal to exist on the mortal plane for $99 a year, that's because it was. Or at least partly because the bulk of subscribers filled up far less than their digital lockers than it was expected. Now, why putting more up there was something they wanted? In other words, you pay them $99, you have unlimited storage, but you don't put that much up there? That would seem to me to be a good thing. And yet now they're charging more because people didn't put so much up there. I don't get it. But anyway, not my deal, I guess. So, Pogo Plug is the way I went, okay? That's what I'm using to replace BitCasa functionality. And as I said, I actually like the way it works better anyway. So, whoa! Yeah, okay, Fred. Fred's reminding us with a drum roll that it is time for the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is Password Safe. Password Safe. By the way, this week I have water. I know you're out there going, well, where's my water? Have some virtual water. It's a video, folks. I can't give you water. I'm sorry. Oh, well. Fred, of course, is virtual. So I can give him virtual water. Leave some for me. Wow. Anyway. See, since Fred's virtual, he can have virtual water. And then, okay, never mind. Anyway, Geek Software of the Week. So you have a lot of passwords, or at least you should. If you don't, there's something wrong. Because if you're using the same password on every website, that's bad. Okay? You're supposed to use a different password for every website, which is why I use LastPass, okay? It is also free. This is free. LastPass is free. But LastPass fills my password in for me without me having to open up any software or do anything. So that's good for me, okay? Okay. But if you want it all local, if you don't trust the cloud out there to retain your privacy, I know. Boy. Anyway, so if you have hundreds of passwords, PasswordSafe is a good system. Because what it does is it stores everything in an encrypted locker, okay? And you have one single master password of your choice that will unlock the entire user list of usernames and passwords, and it's all kept local for you, okay? Like in a encrypted special file. So, you start out your safe and simplified digital life with PasswordSafe. It is free and open source. Installs in minutes on Windows XP, Vista is 7 and 8 of Windows. It's designed by renowned security technologist Bruce Schneier. Over 4 million downloads! 4 million suckers! I mean users! I'm just being silly. I'm sorry, Bruce. I didn't mean anything by it. Anyway. So, water's good. It keeps my throat all lubricated, and I don't cough and hack and dry out and things like that. Microsoft! I know every week I got to say something about Microsoft, right? Yes. Microsoft sells 1 million Xbox Ones in the first 24 hours, too. Now, the 2 is not the number 2. The 2 is T-O-O because Sony sold PlayStation 4s. They sold 1 million in the first weekend, or first 24 hours of going on sale. Now, here's the thing. They were selling only to the U.S. and Canada that first 24 hours, okay? So they hit 1 million in the first 24 hours in the U.S. and Canada, okay? Microsoft sold 1 million in the first 24 hours, but they were selling to 13 different countries. So, arguably, Sony was more successful with their initial rollout than Microsoft was, which for me is a reason to celebrate. I know, I just got to stick it to Microsoft every chance I get. What can I say, okay? Anyway. Next item, Safe Plug. We talked earlier about Pogo Plug and how I'm storing stuff up in the cloud. By the way, I've already taken the My Documents and other local folders from one desktop up there. I've taken the ones from another desktop up there, and I've also taken our N drive, which is our network drive, which if you can see up here, see the router where my thumb is pointing? That's my router, and beside it is a little box. That's a USB drive that is our N drive, which comes through our router because I'm using DD-WRT software, which allows me to share out that drive, okay, through the router. All right, open source router software, awesome coolness. All right, so all of that data is all of what I would consider our important data here at home, okay? So that data needs to be protected. So what I did is I told it, okay, take that local drive share and put it up in Pogo Plug. So far, I've copied 300 gigabytes into the cloud. This time, when they say unlimited, dude, I'm going unlimited. Know what I mean? Yes. So there you go. Anyway, I said all that to say that I've cast my lot with the company called Pogo Plug. So they have another thing that they just rolled out this week called Safe Plug. Safe Plug is a $49 box, little bitty black box, kind of like the black box up here, except it's a special black box. And what it does You set it up so that all your network traffic goes through SafePlug. And essentially what it is Tor. You know what Tor is? Tor is T-O-R, the Onion Router. Okay? Tor is what allows people who are wanting to remain anonymous, let's put it that way, to bounce their data all around the interwebs off of different people's IP addresses and be totally anonymous, so you never know where they're coming from. Were they really coming from High Point, North Carolina, or were they coming from Cucamonga or Albuquerque? It's easy for data to take a wrong turn at Albuquerque. Just saying. Anyway, so that's what I'm saying. So it's a Tor router in a box. So, our Tor browser, I should say, in a box. Tor, the Onion router would be redundant. So anyway, the way Tor works is normally you download the Tor browser, which is basically a Firefox browser that is anonymized through Tor and allows you to bounce all over the interwebs, like I said. Which they usually point out on TV shows is for people that are up to no good. But it's not always people that are up to no good. It could just be people who don't want the NSA getting all their data, you know what I mean? Not because they're up to no good, but because they believe in freedom! Freedom of your bits! Freedom of your data! Yes! Hey, NSA, if you're listening, and I know you are, didn't mean anything by it, okay? Just saying. So anyway, but here, SafePlug, you see, is a $49 box. You put it on your network, and voila! Then all of the traffic from inside your house here going out is anonymous. So we can all be anonymous and not have people tracking us on the web. Yeah, for the most part. It's a Linux-based hardware package of Tor, and which is, as it points out here, slightly hard to use software for ordinary humans. Now, for geeks like me, not a big deal. I use it all the time, not a big deal. But you know, if you're a little old lady from Pasadena that's going to, what router? What? I'm supposed to do what with it? So this you just is a box. You go to Aunt Gertrude's house, you hook up the box, you tell her don't worry about it, and she's safe. And nobody will know what she's up to. You never know about those little old ladies, you know what I'm saying? They could be surfing renegade cat sites. You know how it is with old ladies and cats. Just saying. These things are noisy. You ever notice that? Anyway. So, PogoPlug CEO Dan Putterman says, we're huge fans of Tor and are very good at building these small appliances. He said SafePlug needs to be plugged into the user's router. It takes 60 seconds to install, he says. Then all of your in-home internet access becomes completely anonymized. Which is an interesting word, but anyway. We want to just take what is currently available today to a more technical crowd and democratize it. Don't you love that word, democratize it? Making it easier for the average user. Read, low information user. Yes. So there you go, cool stuff. I like it. I mean, I haven't bought one because I could do the real Tor, you know, so why would I spend $49 for something I can do for free? But if you are a low information user and you have a hard time setting these things up, then $49 isn't so bad. You hook it up to your network and you're done. Now, we'll say this about that. Obviously, if you're bouncing all over the world, it can slow down your surfing a bit, okay? So for that reason, they have a whitelist function built into it. So if you're like hitting a gaming site and you don't want your traffic to be anonymized and slow you down, then you could just whitelist it and it won't, you know, SafePlug will just kind of ignore it, okay? So that makes sense. That's kind of a neat feature, okay? So there you go. Pretty neat stuff. So I trust you enjoyed this edition of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. I trust you learned something, and I'm sorry you didn't have any virtual water. Fred did, but he's virtual. What are you going to do? So anyway, I'll drink that after I get off the show. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.